The Bible reading for this morning is from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you and ask your blessing upon us this morning. Lord, bless us as I share my missional story this morning. May it make us more compassionate to the needs of others. And may it also help us to remember others in the church in faraway lands and the trials that they go through. And let us, O Lord, always learn to see where your hand is working in mission throughout the world. So bless us now as we share, Lord, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning what I'd like to do in the very last of my sermon series that I'd prepared to share with you at the beginning of my ministry here, I want to share with you about my mission trip to Tanzania, hence the shirt. From Tanzania. And I want to share with you just a little bit about that because it was a very formative period in my life. So if you don't know where Tanzania is, there it is. It's just to the south of the equator. We went there in late June, early July. And most of the time it went down to 22 degrees through the night and went up to about 32 degrees through the day. So for us being Kiwis in the middle of winter going to that, we felt it more than probably what you guys would. I went with a Soma mission. Now, Soma means sharing our ministries abroad. And the Soma movement came about out of the charismatic revival in the Anglican Church in the late 80s, throughout the 90s. And it came about because the Holy Spirit was working so mightily. The church leaders felt that we needed to actually get out there and share Holy Spirit ministry so that we didn't become introverted and introspective. So Soma teams were formed. And I went on a Soma mission with Andrew Allen Johns, who was the pastor of the Anglican Church in Rangiora, outside of Christchurch, and also one of his members, John Mock, who joined us for the trip. This is a map of sort of Tanzania where we went. We arrived there in Dar es Salaam. After a 3.5 hour trip from Christchurch to Sydney, a 14 hour trip to Abu Dhabi, and then a 6 hour trip to Dar es Salaam. And then the next morning we went to Dodoma, and we flew to Dodoma, and there we were met by a missionary. His name was Peter Acosta, and Peter was actually used to be a member of Andrew's church in Rangiora, and he was actually leading the Bible College, the Anglican Bible College in Kondoa, which was where we went to. So we did, the Kondoa was the centre of the diocese there. So when we landed in Dar es Salaam, it was evening time. So that's just a picture of Dar. And then the next day we flew to Dodoma in a Cessna caravan. And what struck me was, it's not so sharp, unfortunately. If you look at the TV screen there, it's actually just sharper. Oops, I did it again. If you look at the hills there, they look like just little mounds of sandcastles coming out of the ground. I was quite amazed at how different it looked. When we got to Dodoma, we went to the Bible Society, and we bought 3,000 New Zealand dollars worth of Bibles to take with us on our mission, because it was that there was a generous benefactor who gave us $3,000 New Zealand to buy Bibles, and as we took them around, we sold them at a very cheap price to the people, because we didn't want to give them away or else they would have all gone straight away. So the bishop recommended that we sell them for a very cheap price. And we did, and they all got sold in the 2 weeks that we were there. So we drove up to Condoa, and then the next, we had the night at Condoa where we stayed with Peter and Christine Acaster. And then we headed south down to Kadoka, about an hour and a half south of Condoa, and then we headed inland. And as we headed inland, we were first of all on a four-wheel drive track, and then we were on a bicycle track to keep going. So we went about 45 minutes inland. And as we came along, I was absolutely rapt to see my first ever Maasai. I've always loved the Maasai people. And here was one and some donkeys going along the road. And I then asked Peter, are we going to a Maasai village? And he said, yes, didn't you know? And I said, no, nobody told me anything. So there we were. And so when we got there, this is the scene that met us. This was the church at Masada, which was the village that we went to there. The church was made up of Maasai people and also Chagogo people, who are other people who live in the area. And they all eventually came together. We got there about 10:30, and about 1 o'clock we actually started the teaching, because we had to wait for the people to walk from everywhere. And the chief, his name is Isaiah, and you can just see the fence on the left that surrounds Isaiah's house. And you spell Isaiah I-S-A-Y-A. At the beginning of when you go to any village, you're always greeted at the church with great, great choirs. This was one of the first choir that met us at Masada. That was the Mothers Union Choir. And then we had these three guys who were quite amazing on these beat-up old guitars. One of them only had three strings, and it was quite amazing to see to hear the sound that he actually got out of it. Well, the three of them got out of it. So after about an hour and a half of about four different choirs singing and sitting down and singing and sitting down, because, see, we had the bishop with us, and the bishop is the big chief. And so because we had the big chief with us, everybody wanted to impress the big chief. But after probably an hour and a half, 2 hours, we finished the singing, and then we have the introductions. So the village chief gets up and welcomes you all there, and then each one of you has to give an introduction and tell something about who you are, where you're from. And it's especially important that you bring greetings to them from your bishop, because of the fact he's your chief and you're blessing them with greetings from the chief. So that's very important. As you can tell, on that mat that was laid out, all the women sit, the men sat on the other side, like the old days with the church, with men on one side, women on the other. And of course, the speakers, we all sat up the front there. And that's me beginning to teach. And beside me was Peter Acosta, and he was translating into Swahili, which was the language of the Chagoga people. And then to his right, our left, is Pastor Johanna. And Pastor Johanna was the local Maasai pastor, and he was translating into Ma, the Ma language, which is the native language of the Maasai people. Andrew and I prepared 10 messages and workshops under the title, "The Kingdom of God Has Come Near to You." And we used Luke chapter 9 and 10. Our aim was to convey the power and authority the church has to advance the kingdom of God by healing the sick and casting out demons. We didn't want to give the impression that we were the white men with the magic power, so we taught them how to pray and also how to minister healing to each other, and we demonstrated also a very simple method of deliverance that they could use. So that's us giving them a bit of a workshop about laying on of hands and bringing healing. And at the end of the second day, the chief wanted us to bless his family and also his herds. So we had about 2 hours to kill, so we went for a walk up the far end of the village and we saw the reservoir, and at that time they were into their second year of drought. There wasn't very much water around. The cattle are watered twice a day. As you can see, they're a lot smaller than our cattle, and because of the fact that they're with herdsmen all day, they're very docile animals as well. So at about 6:30, all the animals were brought back to the area that they call the Boomer. And the Boomer is an area that's surrounded by a whole lot of thorny branches, so that robbers and wild animals can't get in. So all the animals are safe in there. That's a very small part of the chief's family. The chief had 9 wives and associated children. So what we did was that we just did a simple blessing of buckets of water, twigs. We walked around and blessed the cattle and his goats. And then we lined up all of his family and we prayed for them and blessed them as well. So that was a really great experience. The chief liked it so much that the next morning before we began, because every day we'd go back to a place called Kadoka, because that's where a guest house was. We couldn't stay in the Maasai village because it was too rough. So we went back to Kadoka and stayed at the guest house and then came back. So the chief wanted us to do the same thing the next morning, which we gladly did for him. But the problem with that was that it ate into our teaching time, so all we could do was we gave them a demonstration of deliverance. And this was sort of our big breakthrough for our mission. We had, Andrew sat in a chair, and we had one of the ladies who felt that she was oppressed by a demon come up the front, and she sat in a chair, and her name was Nisi, and she was a very shy Maasai lady, and she just sat there with her heads down all the time. And Andrew spoke to her and she just wouldn't respond. She would nod her head, but you know, we couldn't get anything more out of her. And the amazing thing was that as Andrew then would start to ask questions, God would give me the answers, and I would tell Andrew what the answers were to the questions that he was asking Nisi. And then after about 4 or 5 questions, we're able to pray for her, and she was delivered, and everybody in the village was just absolutely in rapture. Over lunch, they were talking between themselves, and the bishop's wife told me they were all saying that Steve must be a man of God because God talks to him. And so as a result of that, over lunchtime then, we had a number of requests for baptism, which was absolutely amazing because the Maasai are very slow people to take up Christianity, but once they do, it's boots and all. And they had a few people baptised and a very small gathering there every week with the local Ma pastor. But after we went there, we had this amazing baptism ceremony at the end of the service, at the end of our time there, sorry. And we baptised the chief Isaiah plus 24 people. And that's me baptising a lady whose name was Namu. And when once before I left the village, Namu gave me this cross, which was the cross that she was wearing that day. So it's one of my prized possessions. And so when you baptise, you say, Naku Batista, that means I baptise you, Kwa Jina, which is the name, La Baba, which is Papa, or Father, Namwana, which is the Son, and Naroho Matakatifu, which is the Holy Spirit. So I got a handle pretty well because we baptised probably about 100 people during our time in Tanzania and different places. So I got a handle on that bit of language. That's the Cho that they especially built for us Westerners when we came, which is the toilet, just a hole in the ground. There's no such thing as soap in Tanzania amongst the villages. You use washing powder. There's plenty of washing powder available. And then you wash your hands with that. If you're Westerners, you always take your toilet paper with you. If you're a local, you just use the little bucket that's in there to wash yourself off when you're done. We then headed back from Masada to Kondoa. And on the way there, we called in at another Maasai church that had been built north of Kadoka. And then the next day, we were back in Kondoa, which was our central place. And at Kondoa, on that Saturday, we did the Bible college. We did the graduation service for them and participated in that. And at the end of the day, we got a chance to walk around, which is, I've got just these few pictures to show you. That's a new housing development in Kondoa. That is quite hilarious. That's called the Google Pub. Now, the Africans copy the signs and all sorts of things that they see in the Western world. So they call that the Google Pub. But the funny thing is that there's no internet there. It's Islamic, so there's no beer there. And there's probably not even Fanta there, but it's called the Google Pub. And you see places like this all around the villages in Tanzania. And that's the colonial house that were built by the Brits, and they have now been converted into the local government offices. This was the next day, Pentecost Sunday. That's me. I was elected to preach on Pentecost Sunday. Andrew preached the day before at the graduation. And that's the Bishop Given Gayula. He was translating for me. That was an amazing service that day. At both services, we prayed for the Holy Spirit to fall, and the Holy Spirit fell. Everybody there received a fresh infilling of the Spirit. And there were about half a dozen people at each service baptised in the Holy Spirit for the first time and spoke in tongues. So it was quite amazing. That service began at 7 o'clock and it finished at 20 past 10. We then had breakfast till 10 past 11 and then the 10 o'clock service began at 10 past 11 and then we finished the day at 2:15. So That was that day. And that's just me giving out communion in the cathedral. That's one of the choirs up the front singing. And this was the next day, was our rest day. I wanted to show you this because this is a great delicacy and we had this given to us on our day off. This is the old beehives and they take all the wax and the old honey and the bees out and they crunch it all up. And then they put it, you know, into bowls and share it around with each other because it's quite special. And then you have a piece of toast and you put it on your toast. And it's very sweet and sickly, and crunching on dead bees isn't very nice, but it was they were blessing us with it and we received it gratefully. That was our washing machine in the missionary's house. And that washing machine also doubled up as our shower the next every morning as well. Same thing, just a bowl of hot water and you poured the water over yourself and scrubbed yourself. So, but that was more than what the villagers had. The villagers, that's what they did their washing in. They dig a hole near the river and the water comes up and then they do their washing in that. That's the Condoa River at the time. As I said, we were 2 years into drought and so it was pretty tough going for everybody. The next day then, we were headed down to the southwest corner of the diocese and we landed and we went to Mpendo and this place called Wakensi, and that's just inside the local church there at Wakensi. Andrew had been teaching and the bishop was doing a bit of building people up in the Holy Spirit. I wanted to show you this slide. Because if you see this fella there, he's a Muslim. And on two occasions we had the Islamic people come to our worship services because it was a great honour to have the big chief, the bishop in town, even for the Muslims. And so he came for our one of our services and shared in the worship there. This is Bishop Given, and one of the things that we did when we were in the far end of the diocese was that we did three confirmation services, and this was at a place called Chinyika, and Chinyika means dry. And when the children kneel in front of the bishop to be confirmed, they kneel with a little piece of paper in front of them, and he blesses them because he doesn't know their names. So they have their names written on them. This was an amazing experience. We broke our little team up and there was just myself and the bishop and the bishop's wife and a couple of other local pastors went out to this place called Maziwa, which means milk. And we did an afternoon confirmation service there and it must have been 35, I reckon. I was as hot as. Probably a church that takes about 150 had about 400 people in and there were still people outside. And I was the only white person there. And as I sat in the seat in front of the window, I had all these little black hands touching my back and rubbing my neck and putting them in my armpit because I'd never seen a white man before and they wanted to feel what I was like, if I was the same as them. And the bishop confirmed 136 people there. And that afternoon, the local imam was there, as well as 12 people from his congregation. And at the end of the service, the bishop and the imam went off arm in arm to talk about problems the people faced in the area. And this was at Masimba, which was a rather unusual church that we went to do confirmation at. And that was because they were mainly women. Normally everywhere we went there was an equal mix of men and women, but there wasn't there. And so that was the ladies from the choir. And this turns out to be my Tanzanian bestie. His name was Pascal. And Pascal was the bishop's driver. Now, in Tanzania, it is a shame for the bishop to drive. The bishop must be driven everywhere. So Pascal was the bishop's driver. So he drives the bishop everywhere. And the way the bishop used a remote control on the TV, you would be glad he doesn't drive. And Pascal, and also it's a shame for the bishop to carry anything, so it was always Pascal and any of the other clergy's job to carry the bishop's bag, his robe, his crook and everything like that for him. See, if the bishop had a car accident, it would be a terrible thing for somebody else to actually have to take the bishop to court over a car accident. So that's the main reason why they don't let bishops drive. So that's the three of us at the Church of Wackenzie, Andrew, myself and Bishop. And that was the three of us, John, myself and Andrew, at the end of our journey. And while it was great fun, it was certainly good to be back home and have some good food again, because most of the time it was chapatas, which is when we're out in the villages, which is just flat bread. You either put sugar on it or sometimes you were given honey and tea. That was breakfast. And lunch and dinner was always rice and goat stew. So certainly got sick of goat stew, especially in 35 or 30 degrees. So just to finish, what I learned, one of the local ministers said to me that you can do amazing things, you will do amazing things when you're over there in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit seems to work a lot more strongly and with greater freedom because the people seem to be more open. And we've certainly discovered that there was a desperation in those people. If God didn't move, they remained in the mess that they were in. They couldn't go to doctors, they couldn't go to hospitals. So it was they came with their faith, believing that God would heal them. And I saw an amazing amount of healing. It was my first real experience of poverty. We think the homeless here on the coast have got it hard. You need to see the people in Africa and just see how sparse life is. And that when we finished drinking from our water bottles, the kids were always in a hurry to pick one up because that's the first toy that they probably had in a long time. So it really hit you in the face. I felt the dryness of the land reflected the pagan culture of the country that had been practiced for many years. And that I pray that as Christianity increases, there will be a spiritual change in the atmosphere. Also, there was some fantastic work done by the Mothers' Union. A lot of the women were abused and poorly treated. They have to look after the children, look after the house, while a lot of the men just sit around and do very little through the day. And the Mothers' Union did an amazing job to ministering to women. Also, the power of music and dance. It's their joy, it lifts their spirits. They can't do much, but boy, have they got rhythm. And every time we got up to try and jig with them, we looked absolutely ridiculous because we don't have the music in us. Also, I was amazed at the way Muslims and Christians live together. It was amazing after what you see about the Middle East and all of that on TV. I just want to finish by telling you the story of how the Condoa Anglican Diocese came about. In 1997, Given was a member of the Church Army. He wasn't a bishop then, he wasn't even ordained. And himself and another chap, David Pearce, from the Church Army, went from Dodoma up to Condoa for a visit to scout the place out for future mission. And as they were walking through the streets of Condoa, they came across a lady who had some sort of, I think it was a motorbike or a push bike accident, and she was lying in the gutter broken and bleeding, and she was in a pretty bad way, complaining of pain here, there and everywhere. So Given and David prayed for her, and the Lord healed her. And so as a result, it just brought in all of her family and then their friends and so on and so on. Because what was amazing was that the Christian God would heal a woman who prayed to Allah. And so the Muslims were amazed at that. They were amazed that Christians would pray for Muslims because Muslims would never pray for Christians. And they were amazed that men would pray for women because men would never pray for women in the Islamic scene. And so as a result of that, after 7 years, there came enough people in the church, the Anglican Church at Condoa, and in a few other places around the place, that in 2005 they called their first bishop and made a diocese. And then in 2014, after being made a priest, Given was made bishop of the area. And so he had been the priest there, the bishop there. And in the 5 years that he had been bishop, they planted 12 churches. And so the parish numbered 27 churches compared to 15 when Given took over. So it's quite amazing what God is doing at the ends of the earth. And I think we need to be inspired and encouraged and remember our brothers and sisters on the other side of the earth in the third world countries because of the fact they can't come to us. We need to go to them and they need to know that we love them, we remember them, we care for them, we pray for them. So that's my journey to Tanzania. And that's the end of all my messages about me and what our future ministry and mission here at HTK. So let's pray. Gracious Lord, I just want to thank you for this time of being able to go to Tanzania. I pray, Lord, that there might be another opportunity in the future for me to go back. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as your people at HTK to not only remember our own mission, but to remember the mission that others so need us in the Western Church to reach out and touch them and encourage them. Lord, I pray for Bishop Given and all of the churches in the Diocese of Condoa. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless them as they share the gospel in this Muslim-majority country. And Lord, help us to always be prayerful and be mindful of the missionaries who are at work throughout the world, working there at the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.